Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take final roll.
32 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excusing the call today.
The prayer today is by Rabbi Danny Plotnick of the Juneau Jewish community. Will the members please rise for the prayer?
Let us pray. Our God and our Father, our protector and our Savior, as we begin a week anew and we give our thanks for all your blessings, may those blessings continue so that this great land remain the home of its free institutions, and may we continue to be grateful for your divine works. Be with us now and forevermore. Help us in all our ways. Amen.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread in the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 110th, 111th, and 112th days in House Supplement Number 60.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 110th, 111th, 112th days in House Supplement Number 60 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journals and the journal supplements will stand approved. Are the guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With a great deal of pride, I'd like to introduce a group in Gallery A from White Mountain High School. Mary Ashenfelter, Larry Ashenfelter, Linda Ione, Percy Aguilig, James Brown, Linky Kamakuk, Dave Amoktulik, Kathy Simon, and Rita Buck, group leader, and Tony Valley, group leader.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, the coach of the University of Alaska basketball team and acting head of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Athletic Department, Al Svenningson.
Representative Munson.
In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce Rita Hutchins from Anchorage.
Further guests for introduction. Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, please add to your list of Alaskans to be confirmed for appointments to boards and commissions the following. To the Board of Fisheries, Mr. Nick Jabot-Kodiak, term expiring 7-1-82. Alaska Public Offices Commission, Mr. George White Kotzebue, term expiring 2-1-85. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Dear Mr. Speaker, in accordance with Article 2, Section 15 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska, I am vetoing Section 5 of the following bill, Free Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 645. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, the letter.
The appointment on the Board of Fisheries will be referred to the Resources Committee, and the appointment on the Alaska Public Offices Commission will be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 34, urging the Governor to support Nevada's legal challenge to federal control of public land in the state, and it is returned. This has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted herewith, honoring Jennifer Gomez, Voice of Democracy winner, by Senators Meland and Bradley. These have been approved and returned. Honoring Earley C. Bruce, honoring Mary Edna Crawford, honoring Miss M. Betty Malay, honoring members of the Alaska teaching community, honoring Bob Jones by honoring Dave Thomas, honoring Nathan Lewis, in memoriam J. Vincent Kruskavage, honoring Albro Bragley Gregory. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill number 294, amended by Curtula, an act relating to the Susitna River hydroelectric project and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 418, amended by Curtula, an act relating to electric or telephone cooperative associations and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to the Resources and Finance Committee.
Senate Bill number 539, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee by request, an act making an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety for emergency medical services and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance. The previous bill, Senate Bill number 418, will be the referral is Commerce Committee on that.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 562 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the formation of coastal resource service areas and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs. Representative McKinnon.
We have an Andes.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, a young man from Talkeetna, Alaska, a very articulate, ambitious young man, a new acquaintance, who, and in case you don't know, Talkeetna is just beyond Willow, which is the new capital site, Berkeley Tilton.
Representative Miller.
While we're on introduction of guests, I'd like to introduce Evelyn Stevenson, who was Secretary of the Senate under Frank Paradovich and John Butrovich.
Representative Jaroff.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Could the record reflect my presence?
Representative Jaroff, will Representative Jaroff please be shown as present? Further messages from the Senate.
Senate Bill number 575, amended by the Finance Committee, an act authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $15,987,000 in revenue bonds for international airports and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Senate Bill number 577, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and amending the statutes relating to its responsibilities and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 80, transfers between general fund appropriations affecting the University of Alaska for the 1977 and 1978 fiscal years under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 80 and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Guy, and Duncan. Having no recommendation, Haugen and Montgomery. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 80 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 68, Alaska Power Authority and the incurring of revenue bond indebtedness of the Alaska Power Authority for the Golden Valley Electric Association waste heat power generation project near Fairbanks under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 68 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Jaroff. Chatterton has no recommendation. House Joint Resolution number 68 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 81, decontrol of the price of oil produced from Upper Cook Inlet fields under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 81 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, and Miles. House Joint Resolution number 81 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 118, maintenance of stream flows and levels of water, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 118 and recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent and two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Haugen, and Montgomery. Guy has no recommendation. House Bill 118 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 356, Risk Management and Loss Prevention Program in State Government, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 356 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Bettisworth, Osterbach, and Brown. Signing do not pass, Randolph. Signing no recommendation, Malone. House Bill 356 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 923, Supplemental Appropriation to the Office of the Governor, D2 Lands, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 923 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Jaroff. House Bill 923 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 1031 by the Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Electrical Examiners and amending the statutes relating to the powers and duties of the Board and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 178 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to fees for certificates of fitness and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 178 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 178 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, concurred in by Hurlburt, Miller, McKinnon, and Hayes. Having no recommendation, Rogers. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 178 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 178 be considered in gross advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 178 will be in gross advance third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 178 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to certificates of fitness and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I understand the bill, what it does is to remove the requirement of certificate of fitness in some of the rural rural utilities, but I'm not really quite sure why the committee considered that a good idea. The purpose of those certificates is obviously safety, and there must have been some overriding reason. I'd like to understand what that reason is.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this bill does is preclude having a certificate of fitness for villages and towns under 2,500 population. The Department of Labor has recently proposed new regulations to enforce these certificates of fitness. They haven't done so apparently since 1974. With the high cost of some of these utilities, the kilowatt hour rates of like 40 cents a kilowatt hour with the surcharge and everything, this here, what this would do is essentially lower the cost for some of these villages. It don't keep them from having to comply with the electrical code, the state electrical code, and it enables to hire, be more into hiring the local people, and it just has to do with under 2,500 population villages.
Question. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, with regard to the electrical code, the whole state has only two inspectors to enforce it, and I'm a little concerned about the way this bill is now before us. I think it's going to result in people not having the appropriate qualifications, therefore not knowing the code, doing wiring, and then when the state doesn't have adequate resources to provide for inspection, we could have some unfortunate results. Could we have an at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease.
House, please come back to order.
Randolph Lackley?
No.
Send it back to committee. The House, please come back to order. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, during the at ease, it was pointed out to me that this only affects electric utilities, which makes it a little bit easier to take, and that it wouldn't affect one way or the other the current law or practices involving other electrical work. But still, that does bother me. At least for the present, I'm going to cast a no vote. If the bill's defeated, I may reconsider it, give another day to look at it.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, it appears to me that the safety of people who live in those places of less than 2,500 is just as important as the safety of people who live in places over 2,500. I don't see how I can support the bill.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we just heard testimony that indicated that the safety aspects of this situation have not prevailed since 1974, at least, and I would doubt that they prevailed to any meaningful extent since then. I think it's a perfect example of, you know, regulations on the books that people think are protecting them that are not, in fact, protecting them. And you're just talking about the utilities and the cost. At some point, the cost factor of this regulation, as applied to its, and compared to its potential benefit, has to be considered. And I think this is a good step in the right direction.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think that exactly a cost factor that we're dealing with here. I think it's an enforcement factor and a program factor in that the operation of the program at present is not nearly as effective as anybody expected it was going to be. And the exemption that was provided in the bill for the smaller electric utilities, while may not be entirely consistent with the rest of the law, I think is probably consistent with reality today. I'd urge the adoption of the bill.
Is there further debate? Question for the House, final passage, committee substitute, House Bill number 178. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Moss. Further members. Clerk may take final roll.
26 yeas, 12 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 178 has passed the House. There is an effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, 1 nay.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Miles, House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 529 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to fish disease control. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 529 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 529 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Eliason, Fuller, Zharoff, Cotton, Halford, and Osterbach. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 529 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 529 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Montgomery, Guy, Freeman, Duncan, McKinnon, and Haugen. Having no recommendation, Moss, Smith, and Rogers. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Resources Committee substitute for House Bill number 529 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Resources Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 529 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Will the clerk please read the bill on third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 529 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to fish disease control and the cost of fish inspections.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I asked this question during the at ease and didn't really understand the answer. How can we prohibit and regulate something at the same time? Should and be in line 14? What was the intention here? It's kind of like saying we're going to prohibit prostitution and then setting up a board to regulate it. What was intended here?
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, I could be wrong, but I think the normal rule of interpretation of the statutes is that the conjunctive includes the disjunctive and vice versa when it's necessary to make sense out of the law.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
There's also a very familiar rule of statutory interpretation used by the courts that the legislature did not intend a ridiculous result, so even if they see one there, they have to interpret it out of there. And I contend that it is there. If the disjunctive and the conjunctive is intended, maybe someone should have offered an amendment. It's not my bill. It's not that big a deal. It does look kind of funny, though.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I just thought it meant instead of the department being able to prohibit my tropical fish, they can now prohibit them or regulate them.
Question for the House, the final passage of House Bill 529. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
31 yeas, 8 nays.
House Bill 529 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 60 by the Resources Committee by request of the Governor's Agricultural Policy Task Force, requesting the U.S. Department of Agriculture to establish a plant quarantine center. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Joint Resolution 60 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Zharoff. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution number 60 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is no objection. Senate Joint Resolution number 60 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the resolution in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution number 60 by the Resources Committee by request of the Governor's Agricultural Policy Task Force, requesting the U.S. Department of Agriculture to establish a plant quarantine center.
Question for the House is the final passage of Senate Joint Resolution number 60. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
Senate Joint Resolution 60 has passed the House. It completes today's calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Are there any items unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 529.
Your notice of reconsideration on House Bill 529 is noted.
Mr. Speaker, could we return to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce two friends from Anchorage who are associated with the Resource Development Council for Alaska, Bob Fleming and Bud Dye.
Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up the reconsideration of 687.
Reconsideration of House Bill 687 is for the House. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 687 by the Resources Committee. An act establishing the Alaska Energy Center, amending the Science and Technology Act, and adding fiscal provisions relating to appropriations for the work of the Alaska Energy Center and providing for an effective date. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we turn to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by Representative Metcalf. Page 2, after line 19, add 7. Assess the potential of converting coal reserves located in Alaska to synthetic oil and determine the cost of building a conversion plant large enough to substantially reduce or eliminate the need of the U.S. to continue to import foreign oil.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, one of the key elements of us winning our D2 lands battle is showing the rest of the nation that we're needed. You know, the letter that I sent out expressed that we were needed, and it told people that they were waiting in gas lines and they didn't need to be. Well, it resulted in a few resolutions that were pushed through state legislatures throughout the nation, telling their senators to support Alaska's position on the issue. Well, the amendment that I've proposed here gives us another method of showing people that we're needed. Alaska does have the capability of solving the energy crisis for the nation if we put our minds to it. If we're allowed to by the U.S., by the United States government, or the U.S. government, if this legislature, the state of Alaska, takes the necessary steps to see to it that we take the proper steps, we can and have the ability to solve the problem. Oil conversion is a new process, or it's not a new process, it's been around for many, many years. It's been refined and changed, and the cost of converting coal to oil is coming down. It's never been done on a very large scale, but we have the ability to do so, and I think we should assess that ability, find out what it would cost to convert coal to oil at a large enough rate to dispense with the need for the continuing importation of foreign oil. It's something that's possible. It's feasible. It just depends on how much you're willing to put into it, how much would it cost, how large would the plant have to be to do so. I might add that the chairman of the Resources Committee was present when a gentleman from a firm in the business of converting oil was asked the question by me, is it possible? And he said, yes, it was. It was very feasible. If you have a large enough deposit in one place to convert enough oil or coal to oil, we could effectively eliminate the need for importation of foreign oil. And with him being one of the head of executives of a company big enough to do it, I would think that it's something viable, worth looking into. If we could stand up to the U.S. and say, we have the solution, and here it is, here's how much it's cost, and here's how long it'll take to resolve the oil energy shortage and the energy crisis for the nation, we would tremendously change our position in Washington. We would tremendously change the attitude of people throughout the United States and the attitude they'd hold towards the state of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, think that we need to do this. It's possible. It's feasible. It would solve a lot of problems for the state. It would solve a lot of problems for the nation. I move the amendment.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The assessment and the study of the cost may be a good idea, but I don't think that this bill is the proper place to do this. First of all, what's being suggested here is is a study of the, or an assessment, and I would assume that determining the cost would be another study. And the intent of this legislation is that studies and research be done by the University of Alaska and by existing private research firms. The job of the Energy Center would be in technology development, not in doing these kinds of assessments. Secondly, the place that it's being put in the bill is a general purpose section, and I think it's getting a little too specific to go if people look at the general purposes on page 2 where it's being proposed. That's not a proper place to do that. Such an assessment could be considered in the intent language for project financing in the annual budget when the center comes back. But the third question I'd have is the expense of synthetic fuels. There's been some criticism on this floor of this bill because of the cost of the bill. And if you're looking at getting involved in syn fuels, you're looking at billions of dollars, not millions of dollars. And the U.S. government is putting quite a bit in there. I'd question whether or not Alaska has the means to get that involved. And while I think that this assessment should be done, I don't think this bill is the place to do it, and I would urge the defeat of the amendment.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, you know, I think line 18 pretty well covers it, bringing existing new technologies to a stage of commercial feasibility. I think the amendment should be defeated. But I might also point out that I remember when I was a young fellow, we already had the technology to have gas, because we didn't have any gas lines coming across from Oklahoma for natural gas around our neck of the woods there, and we had gas lights and stuff. We've already got the technology. I don't see any sense in investigating it any further, and I think that the line 18 covers it, and I would suggest we turn this motion for amendment down.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, the opponents of the amendment have suggested the cost of synthetic fuel. Well, the point is we don't know what the cost is, and we don't know what it costs to build a plant large enough to do this. That's what I'm suggesting we find out. And I don't suspect that Alaska would have the capability or the resources to build the plant, but I think if we had the bid or a proposal and we knew how much it would cost, we could go to the federal government, we could show them how much it would cost. We have the deposits all in one spot. We have a sufficient deposit within close proximity of each other, sufficient deposits within close proximity of each other to supply a plant large enough to convert enough cold oil for the rest of your and my lifetime, and probably the rest of our children's lifetime. And we have about a 650-year oil supply if we convert our coal to oil altogether. So it is feasible, and I think if we could show the federal government that and show them what the cost is, the incentive to invest billions and billions and billions of dollars up in Alaska to produce that oil would be a very large incentive. And I think if you told the nation that and the people of the nation that, they'd storm the walls down to the storm the walls of Congress to make damn sure that they solve the energy problem. Because once somebody says we have the answer and here it is, people are going to be very concerned if Congress does not take advantage of that.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the member from Della Junction that I think that to the extent this should be in here at all, it's covered in lines 18 and 19, subsection 6. At least, so I am opposed to the amendment also. I think we ought to speak more generally rather than particularly with regard to the charge to this new energy center. And at least my understanding of the particular subject matter of the amendment is that it's already known to work. The problem is one of making it cost efficient and developing the industrial engineering. And presumably, if the cost of oil keeps going up the extent it is, maybe just at current prices, it's going to be economically practical soon. That's unfortunate because that means we'll be near an international crisis or on the edge of one in order to cause that to happen, but that seems to be happening for the last 2 years. Anyway, I'm opposed to the amendment.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think that whether we ship coal, oil, or anything down to the lower 48 is going to help them think any better of us anymore. As I look at these purposes, it seems to me the majority of them are to promote the energy uses in Alaska, and I oppose them in because it just entails shipping more resources down the lower 48.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think people have talked about the technical side of the amendment, but one of the arguments that was made for the amendment was that it would allow Alaska to gain some political leverage. Mr. Speaker, I think that argument flies in the face of the facts. The facts are that it's already been brought to the attention of the Congress and the national administration and the public of the United States that the pending legislation in the Congress regarding Alaska lands is going to prohibit the exploration and development of vast areas in the state that are expected to contain substantial oil reserves. In spite of that fact, people seem bound and determined to do that. Personally, I don't understand the hypocrisy involved in leasing everything offshore as rapidly as possible, which is a sensitive environmental zone, and prohibiting the development of the uplands where the negative environmental effects can be more carefully controlled. But the fact is that's the way they're proceeding. And so rather than warp a bill that may do some good out of shape on a false political premise, I urge the House to defeat the amendment.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the previous speaker on it, but for a different reason. We attempted to tell the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that they should not build a conditioning plant on the North Slope because it would use up over half of the gas liquids to fuel it. That's their plan. Whereas in the interior, we had lots of coal. They didn't seem interested in listening.
Question for the House. Is the motion to return to second reading for purpose of adopting specific amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
11 yeas, 28 nays.
Motion is failed. We are in third reading and final passage. Is there debate? Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to bring up a few more points to the members' consideration, and that's one, what I think is an important question of the main sponsor. First, I want everybody to realize that this is no small bill we're talking about. In 5 years, in less than 5 years, you'll be blowing about $65 million. Now, with all the major problems that we have in this state and other things that we need to really address, as far as immediate employment, as far as bottom fishing and things like that, do you want to blow $65 million? But then more specifically, sir, I find a little confusion with one bill and then this particular bill here. If I may, and I hope it's not out of order, refer to House Bill 60 that gives us a couple of line items that certainly reflect upon this bill. And sometimes I think, well, maybe the purpose is if you can't get the money one way, try it another way. Perhaps the main sponsor will let us know. In this bill, we have alternative energy speaker, $7,900. You know, is there a conflict there? Then we have alternative energy technical, whatever that means, $85,500. And then... we can go to the next page here. This sounds more interesting things. Tannenaw Power Study and a Fairbanks District Heat Study. And there's a few more, but that'll just give you four indications on two pages of alternative studies. And I think, you know, if we believe in this, wouldn't it be best to unify all of our efforts? Or is it a matter that if one fails, then we'll pick it up someplace else?
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with Representative Martin. It is good to unify those efforts, and that's why this bill is before the body. If people will notice in the letter of intent in the fiscal note, we're asking that all the existing technology development activities, energy activities within state government be presented in the budget next year under the Energy Center rather than having them spread throughout the state agencies. And so I'd agree with him that this is a good piece of legislation.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of points I think should be responded to. The suggestion that passage of this legislation would be tantamount to blowing $65 million. I have no idea where that comes from. You know, why you might say, yeah, it might be a product of an overactive imagination. That's true. But especially in light of that speaker's statement that we're having a lot of problems with jobs. And he's absolutely right. We are having a lot of problems with jobs. But the purpose of this bill, if you just take a couple of minutes to read the bill, read page 2, the purpose is, the primary purpose of the center is to create employment opportunities and other benefits in the state for the development and use of more efficient technologies. Jobs. That's the primary purpose, is jobs.
Representative Montgomery.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I had a question on the fiscal note. I wonder if I'm reading it correctly. It shows for personal services for fiscal 82 a total of $2.7 million, and lists the director at $80,000 plus 21% benefits. Am I reading that correctly? Or is the director earning approximately $96,000 a year, and then there are two deputy directors at $70,000, if I'm reading it properly, and 10 senior staff at $60,000 per year plus 21% staff, or am I reading that incorrectly?
Representative Rogers.
I think the benefits number are the standard benefits figures for the state government. The recommended salaries for that were established with the assistance of the Montana people, and they said those would be the numbers necessary to be competitive with other R&D firms around the country.
Representative Moss.
I'm going to vote for this bill, but I got to answer one little comment my good friend across the aisle there mentioned, the Tannenau Power Project. Yeah, darn tootin' it's in there, and I hope the hell it stays in there, because it takes away the use of petrol and diesel fuel for the use of generation for electricity for a number of villages up and down the Yukon River there. And we're having trouble enough as it is getting power, petroleum and stuff in there, and it is a small power project study, and I hope the heck it stays in there. And I'm voting for this bill, because they're going to bring up lots more better things than what we've got now.
Representative Martin.
Thank you. In relation to the question by a representative from downtown Anchorage, where I got these figures at, so it's right here. I mean, it came out of my mind, but my mind saw what was here, and $65 million plus. Now, on the program, I'm glad Mr. Representative from Fairbanks said that these would be combined together. Does that mean if we pass this bill, then we should take these line items out of House Bill 60? In my mind, I agree with the representative from Delta Junction that perhaps they would do far better immediately putting their ideas and projects to work. Are you saying, sir, that you're going to take these line items out if this center is approved, and then your organization will study it and study it and study it and study it, and maybe 5 years from now we'll have some employment? Thank you.
The question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 687. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Carney? Are there other members? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 yeas, 13 nays.
Committee substitute House Bill 687 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Motion for the House is the adoption of the effective date clause in House Bill 687. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, 4 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Anderson. House, please stand. Will the House please come back to order?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there was a letter of intent that accompanied committee substitute for House Bill number 687, so at this time I move that the letter of intent for that bill be adopted.
Question for the House is a motion to adopt the letter of intent on committee substitute House Bill 687. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Excuse me, 33 yeas, 3 nays.
The letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Buchholz be excused from the call of the House May 8th and May 9th.
If there's no objection, Representative Buchholz will be excused on those dates.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Moss be excused from the call of the House May 16th.
There's no objection. Representative Moss will be excused on May 16th. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill 178.
Your notice of reconsideration is noted on House Bill 178. There are other items of unfinished business to come before the House. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, it's not very often I have the opportunity to introduce some friends of mine from out of state. They're in Galleries, Frank and Donna Caldwell. They're from Port Angeles, and Frank is and Donna have a trolling vessel up here. And those of you who are interested in fishing, Frank wrote the book, A Pacific Troller.
There are other items of unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Speaker, House Commerce Committee will meet tonight at 7 o'clock to consider Senate Bill 577, APUC Sunset Extension, and also our blank-numbered bill on the same subject, which the technicalities require us to introduce, even though we're considering the Senate title. We will not consider House Bill 356 because we finished with it on Friday and reported it out of the committee. They will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider House Bill 780, Disclosure of Bank Records, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 112, Corporate Dissolutions, and Senate Bill 111, Life Insurance Policy Loans.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock. The committee announcement page says 7 o'clock, but that's wrong. It's 3 o'clock on three bills. House Bill 437, the sale of state land subject to competitive leases. House Bill 560, conservation bonds. House Bill 963, amendments to the oil and gas corporate income tax.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary meet at 3 this afternoon. House Bill 984, Alaska Bar Association.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the announcement page for State Affairs was made up before we knew we were going to be meeting this afternoon, so the bill listed for a meeting this afternoon, House Bill 1018, will actually be heard tomorrow.
Further announcements? Special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.